In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
At Cana's wedding feast, the wine ran out. Not a drop was left. It was an embarrassment to the bridegroom, to the family of the bride, to the master of the feast, to all involved. A sign of poor planning, it would be seen as disrespect to those invited. Would be seen as a sign of God's displeasure toward the newlyweds, as the goodness of creation had worn out and dried up. Be seen as a bad omen. But somehow, and St. John doesn't tell us how, but somehow, the Blessed Virgin knows about this lack of wine. And so she prays. She goes to her son and simply says, "They have no wine." That's it. That's her prayer. She makes her request known to God, trusting whatever Jesus will do or say afterward, it will be wonderful. It will be for the good of all present and to His glory. This is exactly how you learn to pray in the small catechism. God desires you to pray in all boldness and confidence, asking for whatever you desire, as dear children ask their dear father. And even in spite of a seeming rebuke from Jesus, Mary's faith isn't crushed or shaken. She knows Jesus is good and merciful, that He will provide. She tells the servants, "Do whatever He tells you." In faith, Mary holds her son and God to be faithful to His word. So you must likewise pray with boldness and confidence, without fear and trepidation. When the goodness of creation fails, pray to the Lord Jesus and He will restore it. When you need work, food, or clothes, when you desire a spouse, family, and friends, pray, and the Lord will provide. When you are in need, pray, "I have no wine." To do so is a confession. "All my planning, O Lord, has been for naught. All my works have failed me. Sorrows have overtaken me. I have no strength. Precious Jesus, be strong for me, for I am weak. Provide for me, for I am in want. Restore what I have destroyed. Make whole what I have maimed. I can do nothing. I have nothing apart from you." Prayer isn't forcing the hand of God. Jesus doesn't come to fulfill your every earthly desire, but to win your salvation. Don't think you have to trick Him into giving what you need. The Lord will provide. Don't think you can influence Him by any number of man-made works, prayers, or whatever, though the shelves of the so-called Christian bookstores are filled with just that. Jesus is not come to serve your every whim and desire. Repent. Sin makes you like Cana's dried up wine. It leaves you worn out, worthless, lacking, and an embarrassment. Sin separates you from God and damns you to hell, deserving only His wrath and displeasure. It would be far better to have no wine than to remain in your sins and trespasses. Hear the rebuke of Jesus, and know that He's come not that you may revel in gluttony. He's come not to fill your liquor cabinet, which is full today and empty tonight. His hour to come does not consist in earthly treasures. And yet, in spite of your worthlessness and unworthiness, God reveals His love for you in Jesus Christ. He wants you to ask whatever your heart desires. You will not weary Him with your prayers, neither in how often you pray or in what you ask for. Ask for whatever it might be, even if men think it outlandish, as a dear child asking their dear father, in all boldness and confidence. For your Heavenly Father loves you and knows how to give you exceedingly good things. Jesus hears your prayer and answers them, but not always in the way you expect or desire. This is no rebuke, for Jesus will answer and does provide what you need. Yet if you ask for $1 million, Jesus might instead provide a new job, a raise, or some other means to provide for your family. You might pray for family, friends, and loved ones to be returned to you from the dead. And instead you find love, companionship, and friendship within the communion of the Holy Church. Jesus provides what is best for you, what you need, because he is good and loves you. Thus, neither Mary's nor your faith is shaken. By changing the water into wine, Jesus isn't simply being obedient to the wish of his mother, nor enabling the party to go on. Rather, he blesses holy marriage, the lifelong union of one man and one woman as one flesh, by his presence. He delights in the fruit of holy marriage, children. But he also reveals his glory, that he is God come in human flesh. For Jesus comes to restore the fallen creation, causing an overflow of what previously had dried up, improving and making far better than what was before. Jesus comes to gladden the hearts of men. He comes to gladden your heart. And all this on the third day. St. John wants you to see the connection between Jesus' primary sign and the resurrection. He wants you to notice that the chief sign takes place at a wedding outside Judah. For Jesus comes to end the divorce between men and women, between Jews and Gentiles, neighbors and brothers, and between body and soul. You shall be reunited with God as you are meant to be, at harmony and peace with yourself, with each other, and with him. Both Adam's and Babel's curses are removed. Jesus provides the new wine, the good wine, the right, fitting, and needed wine, because he is the true and living bridegroom. So it is then that the changing of water into wine isn't simply Jesus' first sign, the first in a chronological sequence of events, but it's his primary sign. That statement and declaration of fact. That is, it's the sign which forms and shapes all others, the one which reveals the purpose of his incarnation. And that is the restoration of the fallen, the making pure of the corrupted, bringing joy forth from sorrow, bringing life forth from death. What's done at Cana on the third day is the type of all that Jesus does, even the final banishment of sorrows. That's the hour when the glory of God is fully revealed for all to see. This is the running of the hills with the sweetest wine of the revelation of God's glory in the flesh of Jesus. As he hangs upon the cross, he takes your curse into his own body to rescue you from its power. He takes your sins, sorrows, fears, and pains upon himself to do away with them forever. The bridegroom gives his life for the bride, and from his side flows the water which washes away your sins, names you with God's name, and clothes you with Christ's righteousness. And the blood which quenches your thirst, extinguishes death, and gives life. We are indeed drunks, gluttons, and perverts who should be struck down for our crimes. Yet Jesus instead pours out mercy and love upon us. He welcomes you, declaring you his own child and bride. He declares you holy, immaculate, and good. All of his signs, all of his ministry, fit this pattern and continue this mission. For his glory is to freely give his body into death and pour out his blood for men. And through this sacrificial love of Jesus, you are now able to love one another with brotherly affection. Let no one think he's better than another, or this one lower than that one. Jesus calls you to love one another and to live in harmony. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who sorrow. Pray for all. And even when you fail in this, as you will, for your flesh is weak and frail, Jesus forgives your sins and restores you to life in his shed blood. That is why you pray with boldness and confidence, why your faith is not shaken in times of trial and tribulation. The Father sends forth his word to heal and deliver you. Even now, in his marriage feast, where at the word and command of Jesus, his servant delivers to you bread now become his body and wine his blood, you are delivered unto life everlasting. There is no finer wine or richer feast than the body and blood of Jesus Christ. On the third day, Jesus restored creation and brought an end to your sorrow by bursting the bonds of death. Now he remains with you in the eternal third day. Come, for Jesus is here today to bless you with his presence. Come, for his hour is now delivered to you upon the paten and in the chalice. Here is the marriage feast of his body and the wine of his blood that gladdens your heart unto life everlasting. O taste and see that the Lord is good. In Jesus' name, amen.